Welcome to Color Me Green, a podcast focused on making the world a greener place. Welcome back. I hope everyone is having a great start to the new year. Hope everything's going good. Mine has personally been great, staying very busy, but all good things. Getting into today's episode, I had the chance to sit down and have a conversation with John Reed, the New Zealand-based founder of Compostic. Compostic offers certified 100% home compostable cling wrap and reusable sandwich bags that break down quicker than an orange peel. So stay tuned to learn more about John, Compostic, and how they are helping consumers create a more sustainable lifestyle.
Hi, I'm John Reed, founder and CEO of Compostic. We invented, in fact, the world's first home compostable alternative to cling wrap, or saran wrap, I think you guys call it in the States. And also resealable bags, or I think you guys call them Ziploc bags over there. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I got into what we do at Compostic was, funnily enough, when I was in my mid-20s, I was really unaware of how big the issue of plastic on our environment was. And so when my friends enlightened me of the kind of issues that it was causing our environment, I had this moment of shock and horror. And it was almost like a movie scene where suddenly all I could see was plastic. You know, I looked left, plastic. You know, my bottle was made out of plastic. My pen was made out of plastic. Everything was plastic. And I just thought, this is crazy. If this is such a big issue, then how is this material being allowed to be so abundant in our lives and throughout the world? And organically, that sort of turned into a mission. How do we get rid of this thing that is everywhere and it's destroying our planet?
I can definitely relate to that. I was literally, as I was setting up, I just got this filter for my microphone and it came in a box, and inside that box, the item itself was wrapped in plastic. I was like, oh my God, everything is plastic. And I totally get that. I'm like, I need to find renewable, you know, replacements to these products that I use. And it's just, once you realize it, it's so overwhelming because everything you see is like, oh my God, that's plastic. That's not going to biodegrade at all. And I totally understand. It's a big challenge.
It really is. It's an interesting one. It's frustrating for me. It does feel like we're the only species who do so many things backwards. Mm-hmm. And unnatural to hurt the environment that we actually love so much. It seems so anti-intuitive.
How exactly, because I know there's so many plastic products, everything is made out of plastic. Mm. So how did you come to the plastic wrap and replacing that? And then you also have sandwich bags. So how are those the two things that you were like, out of everything, let's make these sustainable?
Well, that's not where we started. So going back a little bit again, as I said, that sort of moment of realization inspired me to research. And at this point, I'm not trying to build a company or anything. I'm just mm-hmm. really interested. And so I started doing a lot of research on different materials. And within 6 months, I found myself traveling the world, going to different materials companies and looking at some new innovative products that people were bringing out. And I bumped into a lot of greenwashing products that said they were biodegradable, but actually only biodegraded into microplastics and things like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I finally found this compostable material that was third party certified. And I actually turned it, originally we made shopping bags out of it. Mm. And our whole goal was, for me at that point, I was thinking, well, who produces the most plastic? It's companies. Mm-hmm. And so how can we create the most awareness possible as quickly as possible? And that was to go to the supermarkets and things like that and try and get them to change their ways and move away from plastic bags to compostable bags. And this is 4 or 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And we quickly found that really frustrating. Obviously, it's a more expensive product, and the retailers just didn't, honestly, they just didn't really care that much. And yeah, so we felt like we were getting pushback after pushback after pushback. And we started advertising what we were doing on Facebook and social media. And we picked up a pretty big following quite quickly, which was interesting for a company that was making packaging, shopping bags. You know, it's not a necessarily an exciting thing. And then this the whole plastic bags thing became really prevalent in the media here in New Zealand. And that was mostly because photos of turtles and dolphins with their stomachs full of plastics were all over Facebook and Instagram. And the people started saying, well, hold on a second, we don't want to be doing this. We don't want to be the cause of dolphins and turtles. And so they started getting all this education. And it was the consumer that started to demand change. And suddenly the government took note, and there was motions in place for plastic bags to be banned. And we thought, wow, that is a massive amount of power that the consumer has these days, you know, through social media and things. They can really make changes. And we recognized immediately that, okay, businesses might not want to change because it's going to cost them, but people do. So how do we create something for the people that will add value to their lives? That's convenient and functional and fits with their modern day lifestyle. And so we went out and we started talking to people. And one of the major things that kept coming up was cling wrap. People would use alternatives, beeswax wraps and things like that. And they'd always tended to go back to wrap just because the alternatives didn't quite do the job, or they were more difficult to use. You know, you had to iron them and rewax them and all these different things. And for most people, that's just not an option that fits in with their busy lifestyle these days. And so we said, okay, well that's what we're going to do. And I went out and started having a look around, and this product hadn't been invented before. And everybody told me that it was going to be something that was impossible to make. And for me, I hear that kind of thing, and I think, great. Challenge accepted, you know, I'm going to be the first to do it. If no one else can, then I'm sure I can find a way. And so that's what we started doing. And it took a good 2 or 3 years to develop. And the resealable Ziploc bags were a natural second. Again, they're reusable products. So you can wash them and reuse them a number of times. And again, a big market where people use them a lot. And so we wanted to create a solution for that as well. So those were really the main reasons. They were difficult to find good alternatives for, and they hadn't been done. So we wanted to create them. We wanted to create them for consumers who wanted to have their own impact on the environment and in a way that they could do so easily.
I love that. I hate sandwich bags and I hate plastic wrap and I don't like having it in my house. I actually go to great measures to do anything but use them. So the fact that, you know, there are other options like the silicone bags, I mean, those are kind of expensive, just, you know, to buy one, it's like $20, but
yeah,
it's, you use it forever. So it's, the alternative options are really just so much better in the long run. What was your biggest challenge in, I guess, the process of making the wrap and the sandwich bags? Was there something that was like a hurdle? You were like, oh man, like maybe this, was there anything like that?
Yeah, I think there are tons of things. I think looking back on it now, the major lesson and the major thing was patience. You know, everything takes longer than you expect it to. Everything costs more money than you hope it might. And you've got to be really, really patient. I think especially for things like cling wrap, it's really easy to underestimate how difficult that product is to make. And I still remember our first iteration of the product. It came out and it was wrap on a roll. It looked exactly as it does now. It looked exactly like plastic wrap. And I thought, oh, that was easy. You know, everyone told me this is going to be really difficult. That was easy. Here we go. We've got it. And then you start playing with it and it doesn't pull off the roll and it doesn't cling properly and it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. And it wasn't until 3 years later that we actually had a product where we felt was usable for a consumer. And that's tiring, you know, because you're hoping that you can spit this product out in 6 months or so. And it took 3 years. So I think it is that patience. It is really having that patience and determination to get there at the end, because it can be frustrating and demoralizing when you're continually having a go and not getting the product out at the end that you want. I think that's the key thing. It's really having that patience is tough. It really is.
Oh yeah. And especially when, like, everyone experiences this, but as you know, you're similar to myself in the way that when someone tells you you can't do something, you're going to be like, okay, well, now I'm going to try a million times harder just to prove you wrong. And having the patience to sit there and make sure that you do it and you do a good job at it. And you're like, well, look what I did. It might've taken a lot longer, but I still did it. And I personally got, my own pack on Amazon, and I actually just used it to wrap up some chicken. I mean, it was, I think it's a learning process for me because obviously I'm a first time user, but it does cling very well to the sides. I was not worried about that at all. I'm still learning. I mean, I don't like this stuff in general, so it's very confusing to me to learn how to use. So I'm just like, you know what, I don't use it that often. It's fine. And it does stick very well. So I'm glad that I have this instead of the plastic wrap that I am not going to ever buy again. So
it is funny because it does seem like such a simple product, and yet there is a lot of education because people are so used to using plastic wrap. And probably the interesting thing when we went through this process is that we wanted to create a product that was zero waste. We didn't want to put anything back into landfill. And when you look at plastic wrap, they use a plastic cutter or they use a serrated metal edge, and we didn't want to do that. So we pre-perforated portions every 30 centimeters, kind of like a kitchen towel, paper, kitchen paper towel. And people often won't see those immediately. And they'll start tearing it in random places.
No, you can't do that.
yeah, you can't do that.
The sheets are actually, you know, longer than I anticipated. So I was like rolling it out and I'm like, where does it stop? And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I just ripped it off and I wrapped my chicken. And it was, you know, after you get the hang of it, it's just the with any sustainable product swap that you make is just learning how to use the product differently. And it's the same thing. It's just a different way of doing it. And that's like, our minds are wired to use these products that are so easy because they're made with all of these unsustainable things that just make it so easy, but it's just rewiring our brain to learn how to make those smarter choices with the products. Yeah.
That's it. And I think for me, we find that most people pick it up immediately. And, you know, otherwise it takes one or two users and that tiny bit of patience just to get used to it. And then most people actually find it a lot more user-friendly. Again, those when we first used the perforations, they called it husband-proofing the product, because whenever we got any kind of mail trying to use plastic wrap, they just couldn't get it going. So we found that actually made it more user-friendly once you've got used to those perforations and how to use them. And then I think you'll probably find some people find it a little bit uncomfortable in the first instance because it feels just like plastic wrap. So it's almost unbelievable that this thing is sustainable and going to break down in your compost. So that first time that you put it in your compost and you come back a few weeks later and it started decomposing, that's the exciting moment for me. That's always the moment where people go, oh my gosh, this thing is actually breaking down into my compost. This is incredible. That's
crazy. Because you would not get that with plastic wrap. It'll be there for thousands of years. And if it breaks down, it's not really gone. So that's a nice thing about that. So what does the future of compostic look like? Like, are you looking into more products? I did actually have a friend of mine, his name is Esteban, and he had a question, which talking about, you know, the use and everything is actually really amazing. And I'm glad he thought about it. He wants to know, would you ever consider expanding the cling wrap into commercial usage for like wrapping pallets and other products? And they have those big rolls and they just wrap everything in plastic. Is that ever something that you would be interested in pursuing?
Yeah, this is a really interesting one. And this probably stems back to what I spoke about earlier, which was that first experience in dealing with businesses. And don't get me wrong, the market has changed and lots of businesses have sustainability goals and targets that they have to reach within a certain time frame. But it's something that we would consider in the future. So the products are actually already available. We wrap all of our pallets in our own compostable pallet wrap. Yeah, they're already available and we're able to make them. For us, again, going back to our original experience, we found that businesses were hard to convert. They take a lot of time, energy, and focus. And they often will come back at the end of it and say it's too expensive. Whereas consumers will really get on board with it. And again, for us, it's about what we really want to do is resonate with individual consumers so that they have a source that they can go to in ourselves where they have a trusted brand that they know if new products come out, they know exactly how it's going to perform. They know that if it comes from Composite, then it's going to be compostable or it's going to be sustainable. And they're going to easily be able to find that information. You know, one of our values is being entirely transparent with how we do things. And so we're looking to build the brand through consumer products. And eventually we may get to the point where we provide some commercial products, or if we find the right partner early on who wants to work with us, then we're willing to have a look at that as well from a commercial perspective. Right now, what our key thing is, I guess our mission is we feel like with our product, there is no reason or no excuse to use plastic anymore. And so we have a mission where we believe that we can create a completely plastic-free kitchen across America and the rest of the world. And the way that we want to do that is to work with the major retailers, starting with those who are already committed to sustainable practices. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be launching with Thrive Market, who are an online retailer available across America. They do carbon neutral shipping. All of their ethos is around sustainability, high quality produce. So that's a fantastic launch partner for us. And then we're looking at working with the likes of Whole Foods and other natural grocers around the country and eventually moving into the more readily available stores. So for us at the moment, it's about extending the reach of the consumer products and then extending the range as well. We really want to continue to innovate. We want to continue to bring out world-first products. We want to continue to solve problems that perhaps people didn't even know that were problems. I look at that reusable space, for example, and there are a lot of improvements that can be made there. We're still, while we're using reusables, and that's fantastic, a lot of the reusables are plastics or made out of materials that can't be, essentially their end of life is a landfill, and we want to make some impact there. So yeah, there'll be a lot of innovation in terms of new product in the future as well.
So since we're on the topic of companies and sustainability, does your company manufacture with environmentally sensitive processes? Because I know a lot of companies are like, we're carbon neutral and we re-offset our emissions and everything. So is that a process that you guys also take part of?
Yeah. So that's something that we're going through at the moment. I mean, one of the great things about what we do already is that in using a number of plant-based materials, and I want to be really transparent here and just let everybody know that not all of the materials we use are plant-based, but the majority are. And we're in using those plant-based materials and the end of life cycle going into compost, the CO2 footprint is neutral carbon positive already. But the manufacturing processes are relatively similar. So over the next couple of years, we're going to be really focused on how we can go even further on that spectrum. We've just signed up for to go through the B Corp process, but over the last 2 years, we've been trying to ensure that we go above and beyond what is required for B Corp anyway. But things like converting to 100% renewable energies in our factories and manufacturers, all those sorts of things are going to be really important to us. We're also really strict on the raw materials we use as well. So we don't manufacture the raw materials, but the raw materials that we do use, the plant-based ones, for example, during their manufacture, they use 80% less carbon emissions than traditional plastics. They're all certified GMO-free, and they're all waste products. So they're not being grown for the purpose of creating our products. They're all waste. They would have gone to waste had we not used them to create those raw materials. So it's certainly something that we've concentrated on in the past and tried to ensure that that supply chain is sustainable as possible. And I think moving forward, you know, it's something that we're constantly doing. We're constantly reviewing our processes and seeing how we can improve them. And if we can, then we make those changes.
I love that. Yeah, a lot of companies like that make green products are like not trying to, or that they say that they do and they don't. So I actually did an episode on greenwashing. And so when I look into sustainable companies that make sustainable products, I'm like, doing research on how sustainable their company actually is, or if they're doing anything to move forward like you guys are. So a lot of consumers, I believe, like myself, actually are invested in the company, and they are like, okay, I want to buy from a company that is actually trying to do and be better instead of just putting out something because it's got a, you know, a green label on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think the world is moving in that direction as well. I've got a lot of faith in the future. I see a lot of companies coming out these days, and their brand is built on transparency and not just on that final product that you're buying. It's about that whole process of where that product came from, how was it made, and what changes did they make to try and improve the sustainability footprint of that product. And we're certainly a big part of that. And it's not easy. It's really not easy.
Oh yeah.
But it's just so important to us. You know, we have to practice what we preach, and that's the reason we do what we do. So for me, it wouldn't make any sense for us to be doing what we're doing, and then at the back end on our side, ignoring the things that we can improve. That's just not a part of who we are and our core values. So
companies like that, just, I'm really excited to hear that you guys are, you know, companies that learn from their actions and move forward in a positive direction. And they're like, what can I learn? What are we doing? Where can we go? It's all great. So on a personal note, I'm like a big fan of replacing the things that I use in my home with sustainable products. Like, I've cleared out my entire shower from plastic bottles. And so nice. I completely go on and rave about the bar shampoo and conditioner and all of that. So personally, are there any eco-friendly swaps other than, I'm assuming you use your own products, but are there anything that you've swapped out for that you're like in love with?
I think there's a ton of things, really. It's been a really interesting journey over the last few years. I mean, one of the major things obviously has been getting rid of as much plastic as possible. Sometimes small things as well. You know, you go to the supermarket, for example, a lot of people will use like the fruit and veggie produce bags, or they'll have their reusable bags. I mean, I just have no bag. I just pick them up naked and they go in my basket. You know, I take them through. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and they said, I never thought of that. I never thought of just going naked with them. Small things like that, and then bigger things. I just got rid of my car completely a few years ago. I sold my
Wow.
car and I said, I'm not going to buy it anymore. That may be less amazing in America, where your public transport systems are pretty good. Here,
Depending on where you live, yeah.
yeah, in Auckland, it's not fantastic, but for me, it made sense. I didn't need to be in a car to go everywhere. If I need to get somewhere urgently, I'll use an Uber on the odd occasion. Otherwise, I'm on the bus, I'm on the train, or I'm walking, and I get my exercise from that. So that was a big change that I made. And I think, going back to what we said before, it was just about getting used to it, just allowing a little bit more time to get places. And other than that, you know, it hasn't hurt me. So that was a big change for me. And then the major one was composting. So, you know, I compost everything at our office. We have a backyard composter.
Oh my God, I love that.
Two compost collection bins. So there's a company here in New Zealand called We Compost who will pick up and collect them and take them to industrial compost sites. And we do the same thing at home. And that's a big change for me. That's, you know, that's 50% of your waste that would have been going to landfill that is now being used as a resource and being treated as a resource rather than waste. So that's probably one of the major things. And that's one of the things that we really want to shed some light on it at Composic too.
Oh, I love that. I actually started Color Me Green because I was like, what is composting? Like, what is that all about? And then I was Googling it, and then I just went down this wormhole of all things sustainability. God. So I was like, okay, well, we're just going to start a podcast on it. But it seems like the overall topic, I guess, of this whole episode is patience. And that's like the life lesson I need to learn, but that's basically like what you need to, you know, if you want to make that switch into a sustainable lifestyle, it's going to take patience. You're going to need to change the way that you're used to doing things and changing the way of the products that you're using. So I definitely think that is like the overall theme of this entire episode. It's just, you got to have patience.
Yeah. Totally. Patience. I think there's two things for me. I think there's a bit of patience. And the one thing I learned over the time as well is that people have a lot of power. And if you don't ask, you won't get. And I think we have to meet somewhere in the middle of convenience and habitual change, if that makes sense. So our governments and our local councils need to be doing more to meet us halfway.
Yes.
To be saying, well, you're going to be making these changes. How can we make that change slightly easier for you? How can we do our side of things? And probably the fantastic example of this recently in California is the new compost law that just passed in late December. So all through California, they're going to be doing compost collections, and people are going to get fines if they're not separating their organic waste from the landfill waste stream. And I think that's fantastic.
Really? I have not heard about that. I'm going to have to look into that.
This is such a huge thing for us. I think at Composic, you know, we're not just about our product range. For us, we want to be able to provide a voice to the people, to educate, and then to pass on what people want. And the major one for us is composting. The benefits of composting to the world are gigantic. And and I know that there's, you know, it's not the easiest change to make at a governmental and council level, but it's something that really has to be done and can make a huge impact on our environment. So this law that came out in California, for me, that was a massive breakthrough, and I really hope it catches on throughout the rest of America and New Zealand and Australia and the rest of the world, because it can make such a big impact on the planet, and it has so many benefits to it. So yeah, I think there's a little bit of both. There's that patience and demanding. We have to be demanding of the businesses and the powers that be, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Wow. I had no idea. I'm definitely going to have to look that up, because I love that. And I'm going to do a little research when we're done here.
Yeah. I was so pleased. I was so pleased to see it.
So if you were in my shoes, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you? Is there anything that you wanted to discuss that maybe we didn't bring up or that I didn't, you know, ask you about?
I think the key thing for me probably is that I think the questions that we want people to ask at Composter when they pick up the product is kind of, as you mentioned before, is what is composting? Why is it important? Is it important? That's such a massive part of what we do. The reason that our product is a good solution in the long term is because we need to be composting as a society. You know, 45 to 50% of our waste at home is organic and can be composted. The thing about that, I mean, that's huge. We can divert almost 50% of waste from landfill if we just treat that that waste. I don't call it waste; I call it a resource. If we treat that resource properly, and the benefits of it are incredible. I mean, we're not just talking about diverting waste from landfill. You know, once you've got a high quality resource, that can go out to our farms, and then they don't need so many artificial fertilizers and things like that. High quality soil also sequesters more carbon. So you're going to have more carbon capture through farmlands naturally, organically throughout the world. You have higher quality soil which absorbs more water, so you don't have this run through of water into your local rivers and then naturally into the ocean that carry all these artificial fertilizers. I could go on and on all day about this. There's financial and economic and job opportunities in it. It just makes so much sense, and it is the natural way that the world recycles. You know, if an orange falls from a tree or a bird dies, it decomposes into the ground and it gives natural resources back to the earth. We're the only species who go out of our way to prevent that from happening with our natural waste. And that just seems so illogical to me. So I think that's something that's really important that we hope people get from our products, is we hope it inspires them to ask that question. We hope it inspires them to start a little compost at home, or a little Bokashi bin if you've got an apartment, or find your local collection facility. And if none of that's available, then talk to your local council, talk to people around you and about how important it is, and create a voice that can be heard so that systems can be changed. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way that you just went on and on about, like, from beginning to end. I love that. And I actually have episode number 4 for the listeners. Anyone who's interested in learning about composting and all of the different ways you can compost and what you can compost, I have episode number 4 is all about composting. So back to, it was quite, I loved researching it actually.
I bet.
So John, back to you. My new signature question, since you're my first guest, this is going to be the signature question. What does being green mean to you?
I think for me, being green means awareness and activity. So awareness is trying to make the right choices as much as you possibly can. And that's not just, you know, when you're moving around a supermarket or whatever, choosing the right products. It's actively looking out for better solutions. And then activity is about actually executing and making those changes. So if you know driving a car and you're going to go a mile down the road, could you walk that and then actually do it, you know, actually walk instead of driving? Don't use the plastic bags if you know that it's going to destroy our environment. Take that first step. Be active in how you approach these things. Make sure you actually execute on the things that you learn. rather than reading about them and saying, oh, that's too difficult, or I'll do that later, you know, take some action, take some action on these things. I think that's key. We can't expect everyone to be experts. I'm certainly not. You know, when it comes to a number of different things, I can only be an expert in my field. So I'm always trying to learn, are there any better ways that I can do things? And then I try to ensure that when I do learn these things, that I take action on them. I don't just read and move on. I think that's all you can do, really, is actively try to learn and then put those things into action as best you can. And you don't have to do everything at once. You know, not everybody has to go out and sell their car and start walking everywhere. But if you can just start by making a few changes, and then inspire a few other people around you to do the same thing, then that makes a big impact. You know, we always say we hope that people will take composite cling wrap and bags out into the public, and they'll tell people about it. You know, they'll say, this is what I'm using, and this is the impact that it's making, and you should be doing the same thing. So yeah, I think actively learning, action, and then I'll probably add on there is inspiring others, passing on the message, making sure that others understand the same thing, and that they can do their own piece as well.
That's like my whole message every episode. I know I go into all of these different topics and I do my research, but like you said, nobody is an expert. We're all learning. I definitely don't claim to be an expert, even though, you know, I do all this research and I'm constantly learning things. And obviously there's things that, you know, I'm not going to know, or like today, there's things that I learned from other people. So I like this as like a platform where we can all learn from each other and learn new things and new practices. And then someone else is going to go on and be like, oh, hey, you know, I heard about this, you know, new product and all of these different things. And that's just how like we all learn and how we all grow in our sustainable journey. And that, I got chills. Sorry. Absolutely. Just like, it's no, the stuff you're passionate right. about. It really is. Yeah. So, thank you so much, John, for your time today. Before we go, I just wanted to let you have a moment of, you know, shameless promo, whatever you want to share. Where can our listeners find you and Compostic online?
Yeah, sure. So if people want to learn more, they can follow us on our Instagram. It's Compostic, which is compostic.co. You can also find us listed on Amazon. So we're available nationwide in the States and Canada. And you'll also be able to find us on Thrive Market soon. And I highly recommend, if you're not a part of Thrive Marketplace just yet, I highly recommend signing up to that as well. It's a fantastic way to get all your groceries and, again, be sustainable without exerting too much effort. It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, John. I will have all of your links down in the show notes for everyone who wants to find them. So thank you so much, John, for your time today.
Amazing. Thank you for having me, Paige. I've really enjoyed it.
I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Color Me Green. New episodes are going to come out weekly, and hopefully each one has something you can take away and learn from. I currently have a ton of episodes planned, but if you want to request a certain topic to discuss, please feel free to message me on the show's Instagram at Color Me Green Podcast, linked in the show notes. If you love today's episode, please make sure to leave a review, as I will be randomly picking reviews every week as they roll in to read on the show. One of the best ways to help change the world is to share this episode with a friend and let them also learn what they can do to live more sustainably. And as always, remember to reduce, reuse, recycle, and live green. See you next week.